Yes, sir.
It is now 5:19. We'll call the meeting of Columbia City Board of Works to order. Before us, we have, roll call, please.
Daniel absent. Weigel.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Now, before us, we have two sets of minutes. One's dated March 25th and one April 3rd. If we could look at the March 25th minutes, if anybody's got any questions on those.
I do not.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented for March 25th.
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor show sign. That's approved of those present. Now the minutes for April 3rd. Any questions on that?
I do not.
Okay, I'll make a motion for that as well, as we approve the minutes as presented for April 3rd.
Second.
I have a second. All those in favor show sign. As approved of those present. Next up on the agenda is the Bruja request for a drive-through window to the alley next to 120 North Main Street. We had some discussion on that. Is anybody here for the Bruja discussion?
She was supposed to be here, so.
Okay. I know we have received a letter of agreement for the neighbor, Mr. Hostler. I see we have a letter that he approves of that. We've had some discussion as well, and I went ahead and printed out some aerial photos of that area so we can take a look at some of the possible concerns. There seems to be, from our fire department, there's two sets of gas meters on the north and south side of that alley. There's a map here that shows approximately where they're going to place. They would like to place the drive-through window. And it looks like it's just west of the parking lot. And if you do that, that's a little less than about a third of the way to the east of Main Street. And when we discussed that before, we were talking about the possibility of backup traffic on Main Street, that was problematic area by doing that. Tom, do you got any?
Just on the gas meters, I did contact NIPSCO. One of the things that we were going to put contingent is requesting that they put some kind of crash barriers around those gas meters that were exposed in that alley due to increased traffic. I contacted NIPSCO. I believe the tentative agreement is they were just going to take care of putting those barriers up themselves. NIPSCO was going to take ownership of that upon our discussion. So I think that is going to be alleviated at NIPSCO's cost.
I think the owner explained to us last meeting from the aerial view, their business does not go in the end.
Right.
It's only about two-thirds of the way in, and that's why they identified where they did to put the drive up, because they could not extend it further east down the alley because part of that building is not part of their property or part of their lease space. So and that leaves, I think we talked about potentially three cars maybe at the most.
Right.
And I did, she did come in and talk to me in the mayor, and we both told her that it was a good idea if she actually got the owner. They are not the owner of the property. This paper you received.
Right.
And we felt like, both felt like it should still come from the owner, and she was going to try and get some to us, but she didn't, so maybe that's why she's not here.
Okay, is that something then we want to table until she provides it, or is that?
I think we should.
I would.
Now, it says Dane is representing the owner. Is
yeah.
that what? So he's. So has he been like a proxy?
I don't know. I think that the thing of it was because she said he's in Florida or somewhere, and Dane usually just takes care of the properties for him, but he's not the owner. And we just kind of felt like.
I know at this point, Tom, I'm having a lot of problems with allowing it just because of the traffic flow. And the possibilities of backing traffic up on Main Street if it was a different type of a
street, possibly, but
I also talked to our planning department, and so far there's, I don't know of any place that has a drive-through on an alley in a downtown area that he knows of.
And plus, is that, that is a state highway, correct?
Yes. It's something that we don't really
dictate.
Yeah.
I agree. I think there's still a lot of concern, again, until we're crossing a busy sidewalk. You got pedestrians involved. You got vehicle traffic involved. It's just, I'm still trying to be optimistic, but I'm also looking out after the interest of the city and public safety. So
is that our motion to table that, or is that something that we should just make a decision tonight?
I think, if I understand right, the mayor has given some direction to come up with the actual owner, correct?
Well, we just, when we talked to her, felt like she should, if she, this letter should actually come from the owner.
Okay.
But I mean, if you guys decide tonight that you don't even agree with it, why? It's up to you.
Yeah, I would recommend to table it, just because the mayor's absence, that he may have some other insight that
we don't,
we're not, you know, not aware of, or but right now I'd say table it until further discussion.
Okay.
That'd be my recommendation.
Okay. I agree with that. We wouldn't need to make that a motion, or we just
send the
we just
yeah.
Okay, we will table this till the next meeting. Well, hopefully it gets a little more information again. This seems to be ongoing, but next up on the agenda is utility service group presentation.
Yeah, so how much time can I race through here? I got 10 minutes, 15 minutes?
10.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Yes,
sir. So my name is Mark Hansen. I'm the sales engineer for Utility Service Group, and the purpose of this meeting for me is to introduce myself. We have a contract with the city managing your three tanks. And so I'm going to present who we are as a company. We're the largest tank service company in North America. Been around 50 years. Let me just start this thing out here. And I'll fly through this PowerPoint. I'm taking out hopefully all the sales stuff.
Okay, sure. Hold on 1 second, please. We'll get you a microphone.
Oh, I think
so. I'm pretty loud.
I can hear it louder too.
Okay, are we recording?
Yeah, we don't need to see it.
Okay.
You
see anything there?
I'm going to turn the TV a little bit so we can
see it. Yeah.
So we've had a contract with you for 6 years now, and here we go. Just kind of race through here. Like I said, I'll try to get out of the sales stuff, who we are, and I want to talk about what is asset management for tanks, and also the future work. This is important. We've got a lot of work soon scheduled for the three tanks, starting this year and the next few years, which will affect your water distribution, and also tank mixing. Real quick, we're owned by Suez Environmental, large company, very stable company, 120 years old. We're a tank company, though. We've been in business 50 years. They purchased us to get a foot in America because we have a lot of customers in cities. We're involved in tank services, water quality, well services, everything that has to do with water distribution. We have solutions and products for.
They're going to have our pictures on there.
I'll just get through this kind of. But basically, what is asset management for tanks? It's really tank sustainability, cost spreading, risk avoidance, and expertise. And that's the value of tank asset management. First of all, tank sustainability. Here's your three tanks. You got 2 half-a-million-gallon tanks and 1 million-gallon tank. When we look at sustainability, we talk about what's it cost to replace a tank. In today's value, it's about $4 a gallon. So if one of those tanks were to fail, the city would have to come up with $4 per gallon to replace it, which is a lot of money. So right now, today's value of those three tanks is $8 million. In 10 years, with inflation, it's $10 million. In 20 years, it's $14 million. So that's why we have asset management, because steel tanks will last forever. This city should never have to build another tank again unless you're expanding and need more capacity. tank sustainability is really about coating cycles. So that's what we do. You've got exterior coating and interior coating. We manage the coating to protect the steel. So exterior should last 8 to 10 years. Like I mentioned, one of your tanks, your million gallon tank, needs to be cleaned this year or painted this year, blasted down the steel and painted. We'll talk about the details with Mike. And then the other tanks to follow because it's that time. You can only stretch out the time period between you have to spend money on paint if you protect it. And so we're on the tank every year. We inspect it once a year. We wash out every other year. We try to do that if you're able to drop your water and let us get in there and wash it out. The traditional business model is to paint your tank and then to ignore it and just let it fail. And so that's the problem with that is it's very expensive. Okay, and so when that happens, you need to blast the outside. It's when 10% of the paint on the outside starts to fail, you need to blast it down the steel, which is very expensive. It means putting up rigging around it, a tent around it. That costs, for your tanks here, that would cost easy $250,000 just to put the tent on the tank. That's before you start painting it. It's a very expensive venture, something that it's a hassle for the community. So our plan prevents that for 30, 40 years by protecting that top coat and not letting the weather destroy the primer and the intermediate coat. Secondly, asset management gives you a cost spread. What this is a 30-year cycle. In 30 years, we recognize we're going to have to top coat your tanks on the outside, blast at the inside down the steel, put two coats of epoxy a number of times. So these tanks, you know, we can look down the road. 9 years out, we've got a top coat. 15 years out, 14 years out, we've got a blast down the steel. And so you don't see that spike of cost. It's a huge cost. It destroys your budget. It's a huge budget cost. What you see is it's a fixed fee is what we offer. And that's what you have with us the last 6 years. Again, traditional business model has to do with risk avoidance. Typically, a tank owner will hire an engineering firm out, who hires a coating manufacturer, who hires a contractor, inspection firm. A lot of people have their hands in the job, get a profit, and when something fails, it becomes very expensive because it's a one-year guarantee. With our program, it's just us. We take care of all that. We've got 11 service centers around the country. We're the largest. We've got buying power. We take full responsibility. It's a lifetime warranty on the paint. So your tank should last forever. In our program, it's a lifetime warranty on the paint. And last, what is asset management expertise? We have over 5,500 tanks nationwide on asset management. We've got 30 tanks in Indiana on asset management. And these are things we do every year. We inspect it, we wash out, we make sure that coating lasts. And economies of scale. We can buy paint cheaper than anyone. We're Tenamics and serving the largest customers. So here's your tank. Getting right down to what we're looking at here for this year, here's your million gallon tank. You know, so the value today is about $4 million to build a brand new tank. And it needs some work done. This is your work schedule for the east tank. The last few years, what we've done, it's time to paint it, the inside. So we'll be coordinating with Mike on what we recommend, but that tank needs to be dropped. We're going to blast the inside and coat it with two coats of epoxy. This is going to be an issue for the city because the tank will be out of service for 45 days. You know, that paint needs to cure. It's a big job.
You said 45 days or 45
days? 45 days. It's a big job. Yeah. So you're lucky you have three tanks, but it's not easy for any city, you know, when you got to take your tank out of a service. So we'll work with you, and we'll learn what we need to do. We'll provide pressure release for your hydrants, and hopefully we can learn how to balance your distribution system with the two tanks. But that's what we're proposing this year. It's due. And then next year, in the next few years, every one of your tanks need an exterior and an interior painting. The interior, you get a blast, so that's out of service for 45 days. The exterior is not as long, because we're just looking at a two-coat urethane top coat. Your exterior tanks don't need to be blasted.
Now, have we taken complete ownership of that water tank out there?
Not till January 1st, 2016.
The million-gallon tank?
Yeah.
Is this going to cause an issue of who owns it and who pays for it?
No. Through the agreement, we have to do all maintenance.
Yeah. Okay. I know how it all got started. So yeah. I'm a little concerned about that.
Yeah.
Is this something we need to switch a different tank? I mean, they're all okay.
No.
Okay.
It's a long story.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a daylight for that one.
Okay, and so in the north tank, the 500,000 gallon tank, you know, its value today is a $2 million to rebuild. We're looking at, you know, again, the work schedule is next year, the same thing. We're looking at two overcoats next year. And, this is in planning in coordination with you.
Has that tank got some foundation problems?
Yeah, there's supposed to be some repair work to the foundation.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know, is that included with this, or is that a totally separate?
That's part of, through their contract, they'll do, from the way I read the paperwork last time. It's scheduled. I don't know if it's this year during the washout or what, but it was listed on the one paper.
Certain foundation work we do, certain we don't, okay? Because if it means caulking, painting, and taking care of it, but if there's something sinking in the foundation you're losing, that goes
bad. No, this is just the top corners and stuff flaking off.
We'll have to look at that. You know, that's topical, but if it's truly a structural issue, we really take care of the tank. So we'll look at that, okay? I'll get involved in that.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm new with the Utility Service Group, so I don't have a lot of history. I've only been with the company since September, finally gotten through training, but I've been in the business for a long, long time. I'm just new with the company. Same south tank, again, next year there's work to be done. So every year we're looking at work on your tanks, so they're going to have to be dropped, and we'll look at the schedule. They're all due. And that's what I wanted to talk about, that scheduling, and I'll work with Mike and how soon we can do that. Our service centers will call you, and they coordinate that, but I'll be involved also. Real quick about mixing. Do I have time for a quick presentation about tank mixing? I believe all tanks should have their water mixed because it's old water up there, just like a lake. You get a thermal client. So the plant great water, all Indiana plants do, with IDEM watching over and training our operators. So 99.9% of the time we make great water, we put it up there in the tanks, and it sits there for a long time out of our control. So we believe mixers should be in all tanks. And the difference is basically when you heat water up, there's and that's what happens, you get 10 degree difference between top and bottom, there's a 20% density difference, and you really aren't mixing enough. So this is kind of a schematic of what happens in a tank. Sun heats it up, groundwater goes in there, surface water, what's the problem? We don't know what's on top, and we get these flips. So we get one day when we get a tough sample, and we get a spike. So, you know, that's not what we want. We want our water mixed up. And you get this slime could be in your tanks or breathing. They're breathing in air, bacteria. That's why we chlorinate water at all times. But if it's not mixing, we have no control of that water. Bacteria, slides, by what happens on the surface of tanks. So that's why we wash out. We're in your tanks washing out every year to wash out the slime and keep that water clean. Because bacteria are breathing in this water. So we get this every year. We got great water. You test your water, you drink your water, it's delicious. But you get this out there, and this will help that part.
Our water's better.
Ice damage, too. Your tanks have ice in them. There's damage with the coating inside. They're freezing. So a mixer helps, and people have tried to change the way the water goes in, the way it goes out. It doesn't really help because water's so dense, it just drops to the bottom. It doesn't move up the tank. And so we're proposing a mixer. We represent PAX mixers. Everyone starts putting mixers in their tanks. This is what we recommend installing on your tank. And it kind of works like this. It basically moves that fresh water up and just continually circulates 24/7. So you have fresh water, chlorine on top, chlorine on bottom, no ice, 1 degree difference between top and bottom. So I think that we need to consider this. We could wrap up the cost of a mixer installed into your fee, you know, so it would be a spike, but I would like that to be a consideration for your tank. That's what I got. So
what powers the mixer?
So it's a 110, and our guys install it. We have a control box outside, send a 420 milliamp signal to your SCADA, so you know the amps it's drawing. I can talk to you more about it, but it's hundreds of them have been sold last year. Everyone's starting to understand. IDEM is starting to recognize it also.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Anybody any more questions?
Just one quick question. We've been approached several times over many years about putting cell towers on top of water towers, and we've taken a pretty strong stance not to do that. I've seen a couple of your slides that had that. Is that, from your profession, is that a minute thing, or what's...
Excellent. So, we're a city here. Like any city, your revenue is meters. For the water system, your revenue is meters, and that's it. Unless you have revenue from communication antennas or marketing and your tower. I've seen people get money off of that. Our stance is, it's good, okay, but we don't let them bully you. What we do, we manage over 1,000, maybe 2,000 contracts. What we can offer you at no cost is a contract. Let us market your towers. So we have contracts with AT&T, Verizon, and these are, so we have negotiating power. We can get a contract with those companies better than you can. We take 30% of that price, you get 70%, that's still better than you can do, but everything comes through us. We don't allow them to bully you, because they will. They'll throw cables all over it. It'll look horrible.
So structurally, it's not an issue.
It will be if you allow them to do it up there, because they just throw it up there. So even if you don't sign a contract with us, and you decide to go about it on your own, please let us look at the drawings, because our structure, we have a team, structural engineers, marketers, that just work with those guys.
Okay.
So it'd be another source of revenue. It'd be worth looking at.
I would just work with Mike and just let them evaluate it. So.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you again. Next up on the agenda is ordinance violations and a request for extensions. First one up is Matthew Davis at 184 North Walker Way. If you want to step up to the podium and announce your name and address, well, we already did, but announce your name and address the concerns. I think Tim's not here, so Rosie, you have some information as well about this.
Do you want to go, Dana?
I'm sorry?
It's your call. There's number five on the agenda.
And this one?
Yeah.
How about we just stay with this and we'll come right back to Giving Gardens? I apologize for that. I can't count past four, I guess. So we'll continue with this.
Okay. This is working. I'm Matthew Davis. And I don't know, they have a new address now. It's not, the old address was Line Street. Now it's 145 West Walker Way. It's the Budget Inn Motel is where I'm staying. Anyway, my car is parked in front of my room. My license plate is expired. My registration is expired. So it's out of state plates, Texas plates, so I have to get it. I lost my title, or I couldn't find it. And that's the problem. So I'm having to, I called the state of Texas, the Department of Motor Vehicles, when I got this letter like 11 days ago on a Friday. And they were mailing me a form, and something happened, it didn't arrive. So I called them again this past Thursday, and all they could do was send me another form, and that arrived yesterday. So I've already filled it out. It's a form to get a replacement title from Texas. So I've already filled that out. I mailed it yesterday. It's in the mail. It has to go back to Texas. The only problem is when I got the form yesterday, it informed me that it could take 10 business days of processing before they send it back to me. So that could be 12 days, counting weekends, before they mail it back, and then it'll be another 3 days to get it back in the mail. So this could be 2 weeks before I get the replacement title. But once I get that, I've got everything else. I mean, I got my driver's license and insurance, so I can go straight to the B&B and get it taken care of. So I just want to ask if y'all could not fine me until I can get it taken care of. But I am taking the necessary steps.
Okay, so we're looking at another possibility to make this right. We could possibly look at another 20 days extension on this, or I mean, what's your thoughts?
Marcia, you have any input in regards to private property, and since it's at the budget end on private property, and if it just has expired plates, the violation is...
Well, a lot of our violations are on private property, but I think the fact that this is... He's trying to work with Texas.
Right.
I mean, I think it's reasonable to ask for a little... He's obviously doing what he can to try to get this done. That's up to you, of course, but, you know, I think granting some additional time since it's dealing with another state is appropriate.
Was there a 20 days or 30 days? Or what's
No, he's been conversing back and forth with me. I'm the one that's been talking to you on the phone.
Yeah, Rosa.
Okay. And he explained to me that about this process, about the title, but I told him if there was any way he could give us proof that something has been done, that he did get the paperwork or whatever, and that I couldn't extend it without your permission, but I did talk to Tim, and he said that's up to you guys if you want to extend it any further. But did you have anything that shows?
I have the envelope that the form came in yesterday. I mean, it's dated.
You just sent them on then? Sent it on.
Yeah, I filled out the form and mailed it yesterday as soon as I got it. I mean, I just filled it out. I already had everything I needed, a money order and a copy of my ID.
And that was the only thing. Pete had went up there and checked it out. And as far as Tim's concerned, if you want to extend it, that's up to you.
Okay.
He didn't have a problem. As long as you give him a deadline.
Right. I'm okay if you give it to the first of the month. Because dealing that far away, you just don't know what.
Right.
And I don't want you to come back every 2 weeks still waiting. Something.
That's what I understood. Y'all have another meeting every in 2 weeks. I thought you at least gave me an extension until then, and I could always come back and beg some more.
So, yeah. So if we say May 1st?
Yeah, I'd say I'm fine with that. I didn't see, again, I was just verifying the citation. There was no citation written, so that's...
No, his time...
Or just extension.
Yeah. His time wasn't up, and so...
I'm fine with that, Dan, whatever.
So we need to make that in the form of a motion. I'll go ahead and make a motion that we extend this situation until May 1st, and then we'll have Pete go out and check and make sure everything's on the up and up. I think that's boarded.
Are you okay with that, sir?
May 1st, I think definitely it should be here then.
That's roughly almost 3 weeks.
Yes, that should be plenty of time.
Okay. And then...
But like I said, they mailed a form to me the first time and never arrived, so...
Sure.
It's not really up to me, but I'm hoping it'll eventually get here.
All right. I second your motion.
Okay.
That's great.
Motion and second. And further discussion? All those in favor, show sign. That's unanimous, so...
May 1st?
Okay.
May 1st.
Excellent.
All right.
Anyway, I'm glad y'all did this because... as long as I don't get fined or have my car impounded, it's motivating me to get it done.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. No, thank you all.
And we'll go ahead and move right to the next ordinance violation as well, since we're on that topic. Archie Hall, 507 South Tower View. Please come forward.
You just talk. It'll pick you up.
My name is Archie Hall. I live at 507 Tower View Drive, and I'm here seeking as much time as I can to do our yard because I'm having real trouble getting a truck to, you know, to haul out some of the stuff. As you got pictures there, you should have. They were sent. Somebody came out and took pictures yesterday, and we've been cleaning it up. We even cleaned on it today, and I'm trying to at least till junk pickup comes up, and that's not till June, and which we're having a tough time with some of that stuff that you see on those pictures. But I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the pictures myself, so I don't know what you guys want taken care of, or...
Did you want to take a look at what I got here?
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to put there, because I never got to see what you got here.
Dan, here's some... And these are some additions.
Yeah, here's...
These are the originals.
Yeah, I've got those.
This reason here, that's all woods. You'll see the upcoming pictures to where this stuff right here, that's where our fire pit is. That's all clean. That's massively cleaned up now. We did that today. And we have now
fires going on the other day. They got a fire truck out front.
Yeah, all
that you guys probably see.
Yeah, that's back of the shed again. That's most of that we work done. If we can, but other than that, that's the fresh pictures that you're seeing there. But yeah, that's been taken care of. They can come to the pictures again whenever. But
okay.
Right. Yeah. So I just want to know what you guys want taken care of.
Right.
Because, like I said, we're having trouble finding a truck to haul out some of that stuff.
Sure. Have you had a conversation with Tim or Pete on this?
I haven't, but I know Sally has, and she sent him back out yesterday because he said he did some work this weekend, which are the...
The temperatures at the bottom.
Yeah, we did quite a bit today, too.
They were saying, you know, there are some...
These are the new ones.
With some of that, we can't haul out yet,
as of
so...
Yesterday.
I couldn't notice anything different, but I don't know what you've removed from those first ones.
Okay, so if you found a truck, okay.
Right, if we can find a vehicle, I'm not sure where we can go to get rid of it, but...
Well, that's why I don't think we can wait till June.
Right, I knew you probably couldn't, but because
right.
That's a couple months away, but...
Well, if it was just a small area, but unfortunately it's not a small area.
Can you at least give us like maybe 30 days if possible? It'll be taken care of well before that, it should.
I think we need to see progressive improvements weekly.
Right. Oh, we'll be out there every night that it's not raining or whatever, but...
Okay, but I mean, I know that didn't get this way overnight, and it's going to take a while to clean it up.
Right.
But...
With a couple
I
of
would
pictures,
like
the
to,
ones...
I'm
I
sorry?
I just wanted to ask... Question on a couple of those if we're allowed to leave that around the fire pit, because it's furniture actually, but we sat there.
So you use couches to sit around the fire
pit? Primarily, yeah, because it's more room. But I mean, if you want them removed, I guess we'll have to set chairs out there, like fold out chairs.
My first thought would be cosmetic wise. That would look a lot better.
Right.
I'm just thinking of what your neighbors, surrounding neighbors.
Right. We don't have troubles with either of our neighbors. One of the neighbors even come out with us.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, I know we don't have troubles with your neighbors.
Well,
that's
some
what
of
we're having trouble with, getting a truck and getting it out of there.
Yeah, because what happens with this is... I don't know if there are rats or what have you, but there is a great possibility of
rats,
that type of a
yes,
thing
yeah.
coming
yeah.
into that area. With
and the furniture that you're using outside is meant for indoors, okay? So when it rains or snows, okay, it finds homes for other rodents. And I'm sorry, I understand your challenge. But I think, again, this didn't happen overnight, and I'm willing to work with you. But I seriously need to see major improvement on
right.
a weekly basis. Because
right,
this is
two tires there, too, that we're
yeah.
having trouble with. Getting
there's the violation of the ordinance is what we're obligated to support and enforce. We have that option to work with you, but if we don't see major
improvement, you'll see if
they are.
On a weekly basis.
Today.
Okay.
They are.
And Pete will be the judge of that.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That's fine with
Tyler.
And if we see that we don't see weekly improvement, then Pete has the authority to do what he needs to do to
yeah.
move forward.
Okay. So how much time could you give us then?
I'm okay for 30 days as long as I see a weekly progressive
yeah, you
every...
If you want, just send them out. You know,
once a week, like from today, like next, in 7 days, send them out to take pictures, see if there's any improvement.
It may take you 30 days to get all this cleaned up, I hear.
Right.
Okay. But I...
That's what I was trying to shoot for, you know, is that called spring cleanup?
It is, but we're not in, you know.
Like, it's in summer.
I think right now I was having.
It's like, it really messes me up on that. So if it was like April and May, you know, but June, like you said, that's a lot of time.
Yeah,
it's
and
too
that's,
much away.
That's too far away, and plus, I think we would have to dedicate a truck just to this visit, to this location.
Right.
Okay.
I think
I understand you got a challenge, and I hope you understand where we're coming from.
Right.
And Pete's doing his job, and I'll let Pete be the judge if there's progress being made. But the first time, there's no progress being made.
Pete
is the officer of the ordinance enforcement.
Oh, okay.
Ordinance violation officer.
Right. But if Pete recognizes there is no weekly progress, then he has, again, my support to write violation immediately.
Right.
Okay. Support of the... Board of Works.
So we have at least till May 10th, but you'll see progress.
Okay.
Or wait, today's the 8th.
Okay.
May 8th.
So basically, make a motion that we will evaluate his property on a weekly basis for 30 days. And I guess that'd be 28 days. And Pete will go out to investigate. And we give Pete the authority, if he doesn't see progress being made, to go ahead and take the next step.
Okay. You guys have this every 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yes.
Okay. Second. Yeah, I'll come up for the next one, and I want to make sure myself with the pictures, okay. See if they're...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be fine.
That's
okay.
Fair.
Okay.
All right, you clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dad, form that in the motion.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I will send you a letter explaining all this then.
Okay. That's fine. Thanks.
Okay. All those in favor? Show sign. Yes. Approved of those present.
Okay. Now, I'll try to go back. I apologize for that. We'll go back and go to Giving Gardens Incorporated land use request.
We didn't know there'd be so many people, so I apologize. And we have two little pamphlets for each people.
We can share it together.
Okay. Yeah.
Just lay in there.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for hearing us. My name is Zach Arnold, president and founder of Giving Gardens of Indiana. This is my wife, Catherine, and this is Angela Nezovich. She is also a board member. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We provide fruit and vegetable seedlings to those willing to donate a portion to someone in need. We provide those for free. Our mission is to foster healthy communities by empowering individuals and families with the tools and knowledge needed to produce optimum nutrition, starting from the ground up. And the reason why we're here is to ask for land usage.
Okay. Part of our mission is to acquire land usage. If you want to switch... fast forward to slide 4. We actually have a specific location in mind that's owned by the city, and that's located on 479 South Tower View Drive. What we were proposing is to have an agreement with the county where the county still owns the land, but we could put raised beds on the property where we can get volunteers in the community to come in and grow with us. We can arrange programs for teaching, reach out with the high schools with volunteer hours, and we could share the produce with families in need, as well as educational and churches and whatnot through those programs. Our ultimate goal would be to install the the raised beds. We understand we can't go below ground because of the waste below. We're okay growing up, and we're okay with expanding the raised beds year after year if it's proven successful. There is water access on the northwest corner of the property. We can tap in there, and we'd be willing to pay for the utility usage of that water. If signage and security, we'd like to put a sign up that states that it is a Columbia City community garden. If security is a concern, we would propose putting in possibly a fence, and we would fund that as well. Parking, there's currently no parking within the lot. We could do off-street parking, or we can consider drawing in to bring gravel in to park on the property like that. Ultimately, we're giving nutritional choices for Whitley County. We'd be joining, teaming with community programs such as the Forklift Project, Coesi Cares, the Summer Feed Program, the Lighthouse Shelter, Boomerang Backpack Program, farm to table events, and other feeding programs within Whitley County. At the end of all this, we're growing more than food. We're growing healthy communities. We're providing more options for those in need, and just, you don't even have to be in need. Maybe you just need to learn how to eat healthier to put those organic foods into your dinner table. What this is the shared resource. We're empowering the community. This would be a great tool to show that they can take, we can all come together to do this project, and it'll promote positive change.
It's a unique concept. I was looking at this. Is this area fenced in then for protection? It's, is there any kind of issue?
We're willing to put a fence in if that's a concern. Right now it's just complete open land. Right. I did take off Google Maps. That is an overview of the property. It's just completely open right now, and then there's a neighborhood on the back half of it. So it's on the corner of Hannah Street and Tower View Drive.
Yeah, Joe.
Is this the same concept as what's going on out on 150, the giving gardens? Like a community garden out off of 150 north?
Maybe only by title and in a certain ways. I think their main goal with their community garden is to raise funds to support the rest of their mission. They're not just garden food oriented. They span a different array of various themes. With us, it's mainly food production, food assistance, where we would try to support our sustainability, sell some to push us forward, but the main goal is to provide food for the community with these different projects.
We had a request. The reason I ask is we haul a lot of wood chips out there to help them with their raised beds, sure, and things like that. And if there's a need for that at this spot, I mean, it'd be nice and close. And we'd really have a lot of wood.
Yes, we would.
Yeah, it's a great resource. It works perfectly with what we do. So yeah, that's excellent.
So is this the first introduction that you have any interaction with other within the city? Is this the first introduction to the city, per se, of this
you
concept?
You talked to the mayor, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
We have actually.
The mayor has sent all of us emails to get some more information on it.
Okay.
From his side of all, and then he asked him to kind of do a presentation to the board as well.
Yeah.
Correct. I love the concept. I mean, I there's no doubt that, and I think I've just filter that there's some positive energy out here of trying to see how we can collaborate to make it work. Do you have any type of, what I'm going to say, I don't call them bylaws, but the do's and don'ts of what the people can do with that? Or is this for families to come out and grow crops for their family? Or is it going to be something that they grow out and can resell?
I think some of those particulars we haven't quite figured out yet until we've spoken with you and gotten further along.
We would have a fully developed volunteer program set up. We already are established on volunteermatch.com, which is a nationwide volunteer program, and we've already received a couple interests. We are actually at the Methodist Church this weekend, Saturday, to hand out seedlings as well and start spreading the word. about what's available to the community.
Jeff, did the mayor give you any insight of what his next vision is or next step is from his perspective?
Not to me. I know that it was more of an information gathering at that point from his side of it. So
I talked to him after he met the night with you guys over there, and he came over and explained to me what he wanted to do. I mean, he thought it was a good idea, but he just didn't know if it was a possibility, if we could do it. It's just the empty land that the industrial electric department owns it in the industrial park there. That's, I don't even know if it's sellable.
It would be it's not optimum property for development use because it's not load bearing.
Yeah. And so, you know, he kind of thought, I think he had thought it was a good idea if we could come up with something, some kind of an agreement with them.
Sure, okay.
Are we looking for some sort of long-term agreement? What kind of agreement are we looking at? I mean, if something comes up to where we need to do something on that land.
There won't be any permanent structures on the land, just the raised beds.
Long term would be ideal for us. Obviously, we'd like to continue what we're doing as long as we can. However, we understand too the city
for
side
future
of
building or whatnot. A renewable agreement is fine, and the fencing is only a proposal if you feel that potential
vandalism
is a concern of yours.
Isn't there, again, I understand the fence, but I think the fence would also keep all of the deer. There's a lot of deer down there.
Somebody will see that as a dump site, and they'll probably start throwing brush and who knows what in there if you don't fence it in, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, that'd be a good idea to fence it in.
Okay. We're generating corporate sponsors in effort to gain the funding for these types of things, so it would be a great opportunity.
Yeah. I think we, again, I'm not sure how to answer it, but we move forward in the process, but I don't know if we're ready to make a commitment yet. There's too many unknowns.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I think conceptually, everybody's saying it's a great concept, and from a legal standpoint, I don't know.
Well, insurance, you'd have to carry insurance that would protect the city as well.
Okay.
But as far as Sean's question, you know, the agreement can be crafted that if you're going to need the property for something, there's a termination period, gives them time to get their things off and harvest crops and so forth, but then it would be terminated. So that's easily done in the agreement.
And in the agreement, just covering our end as well, in case anybody was, like you said, injured or...
Well, the insurance would be a must. Yeah, the insurance would be an absolute must.
As far as parking, I'm not sure if that would support... Anna Street would support all that. I'm not even sure if that's one-sided parking or if you can park on Anna or not.
I don't think there's parking on Anna. It would have to be off of Tower View. And then if it's not feasible and we were permitted by the city, we could bring gravel in for small parking.
That's the route to go. But I should remind you that putting gravel only would be a non-conforming parking lot. Through the ordinance, so the board would have to approve for that modification.
We'd have to do a variance, again, on the circumstance.
Not that it would be ruled out, but it would be non-conforming until you approved it.
Right. So I would suggest, Dan, or as well as we continue to have you do your homework and move forward, and I think maybe come back around and meet with the mayor again with a little more information about here's what we can do and here's what we need, and again, I think he may have formed a committee, internally as well to help what we can do and can't do.
Other than insurance, is there anything else we need to bring to you at the next meeting to prepare for it?
Is the water fire hydrant, is that what you're referring to as water?
Hearing from the mayor, there's water access that we can tap into in the northwest corner.
In the corners, right.
So is that a fire hydrant?
But we mentioned rain barrels too. If there is no water,
make a tap. Okay.
Into that main, yeah. Then probably just set a yard hydrant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, we're getting a lot of favorable feedback.
That's
but
good.
There's a lot of loose ends.
A lot of loose ends, yeah. So I think we continue to move forward and and see what we can do working together and what we can't do. We may have some limitations that we can't do, okay, but I'm sure there's in-kind service and there's all kinds of ways to work around some of maybe some restrictions.
Well, when we mentioned the water, that wouldn't necessarily be an issue.
Or the tap fees.
The rain barrels or whatnot.
The tap fees, I mean, that's where I'm coming from. Those are things that we're not regulated anymore, right? Or those are fixed costs.
Those are what the ordinance
says. Those are our ordinance costs, okay. So some of that stuff we may have to work through, okay?
Okay.
But like I say, I think it's a really cool concept if we can try to make this thing work in some way, shape, or form. You know, so I think, like I say, let's go back and, you know, you do some more homework on your end of it and, you know, then make another communication with us as well again and then see, you know, what is the possibilities.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep.
All
right. Let's see. Make sure I don't miss anything again. Quotes for the more first. Wastewater, Rosie, got information.
You should have all your quotes in there for a mower. And Mike couldn't be here tonight because he's sick, but his recommendation is to go with More Farm Store. I think the price was just a little bit different, but let's see, I think it was
27 versus.
Yeah. He didn't know because it was local. With,
now, did that include all the bells and whistles, so to speak?
Yeah, everything that was on this quote.
Yeah, I was trying to pick up on all the different accessories that was included on each end of it. I thought we compared apples to apples. But
yeah, he said they were. And
but I guess I don't see, unless I'm not looking at it, the bottom dollar for the John Deere.
I was missing that as well when I looked at it.
There was
a lot of options there.
It's the 27.
The John Deere?
8.
The John Deere that I see here shows a balance due of 25,147. But that didn't.
Now, where are you looking at?
Well,
it's this
right here, 25,147.
And then there's a whole mess of options here.
Then there's a bunch of options listed below.
No, he's saying Moore's Farm Store. You're just wanting a price for the John Deere?
Well, I'm just trying to make sure.
Oh, I see.
The what is the total cost for the John Deere versus Moore's, so we know the variance difference?
It's the 25,147 is what he said. And then the one for Moore's was 27,854. So I can't read that.
Okay, so more farm store is what, $2,000, well, roughly? Mm-hmm. Roughly $2,000 more. And he's recommending going with more for.
He would like to stay local, and he likes the. They all went out and checked it out and liked that one.
I'm supportive of staying local. The percentage is not that great of a percentage.
True.
When you look at the big pictures.
And if there's any replacement parts, we can go right here in town instead of.
Right. That was I believe that was a Kubota, right?
I think we've talked about this
for a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, for at least a couple of years. Man.
I'm sure I'm looking for the Kubota logo.
Yeah, it's a tractor 4500 Kubota D902.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's 22.8, and then the wheel extensions and the final control. And a lot of different options there.
And they still mow all of their own facilities plus all their areas. So, I mean, and they have their own trailer, right?
Yeah. And the only thing that wasn't included in there was a trade-in of the one they have. He asked about just selling that outright, if we could advertise it and maybe sell it for anybody that wanted to buy it. I have the value of it, which I'm not going to say what it is.
Right.
But it would have to be publicly advertised to sell it.
Well, at this time, it looks like, to me, like if we use that as the trade-in, is that that's what we're looking at doing here, correct? Because the overall price
quote doesn't include a trade-in.
That's okay.
No, it's not included as a trade-in.
The other the other locations did have a trade-in value.
And I was looking here, it was
34,452.
Yeah, and then we had, and then it's got 51,48 in discounts. No, other discounts, 13%.
They'd make money to sell them at the end of the year.
So that's what takes it down to the price that he's looking at for 27,854.32.
But that is the direct purchase.
Correct.
But I see that. Minus trade, with no trade in value.
No trade in.
And then whatever trade in value is would be deducted from that.
If we traded it in, yeah.
I'm sorry. If we sold it, whatever we sold.
Oh, yeah. If we sold it, then that would go back towards the
purchase. And that would be the minimum.
Yes.
Okay. I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah. I make a motion that we accept the recommendation from Mike from Moore's Farm Store to purchase the Kubota tractor and accessories for the amount of $8,54.32, and that does not include a trade-in, and then we will put for public sale the existing tractor with a minimum bid required.
I second that. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor show sign. And it's unanimous of those present. All right, let's flip it back up here. See if we can get anything else out of order here. Let's go. A request for leave of absence without pay. Looks like flip it all the way back again. There's many pages in this thing. And I believe that's for...
This would need to be retroactive because he had to leave the military before we had a meeting. And so the board was going to have to...
Yeah. That's obvious. You know, that we need to approve this. Just make sure the date here is going up so I can read it.
Will you make a motion?
Yeah.
I make a motion that honor the request for leave of absence as presented, being retroactive back to the departure date of April 6th through April 11th, 2014.
And I'll second that, obviously. Any further discussion? All those in favor show sign, and it is approved for those present again. I believe next up is a street closing permit for a concert on the square made by the Main Street Association. Jeff?
I can handle that. This is the night of the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. June 21st, and the concert on the square is actually the south side of the courthouse. We'll be using actually the Old Settlers stage and trailer will be set up at that point. We're going to be doing the concert there, but we anticipate food vendors set up on the Chauncey Street side from earlier in the day. So, from a 303 permit. So, what we'd like to request is that that one block stretch of Chauncey Street from Van Buren to Market that was already closed for the 303 earlier in the day, that that one block only remain closed until after the concert that night.
Okay. I don't see where any of our departments have any issues. Our electric superintendent will discuss electric locations. You know, when that time gets near. So, see, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we accept the street closing permit for Saturday, June 21st from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. For the concert on the square.
I'll second that.
Okay, have a motion and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show sign. It's approved. The next one is a street closing permit, again, for Main Street Association, 3-on-3 basketball.
That part was already approved.
That was last year.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought we just did that.
Well, they just added the concert to that same.
I was going to say, I thought.
We do have one more.
Yes. And that is for the Willow County Autumn Art Festival.
And that one is going to be September 6th. And what we do is the night before request the closure so that we can get that set up. There'll be no parking the night before on the Chauncey Street side. We'll leave the actual street open until very early in the morning. I'll come down and put the barricades up or the police will. That's what they did this last year. But what we would do is tear down the barricades down ourselves at the conclusion. So we're looking at about 12 hours on that Saturday from 5 to 5. Just that one block in there on Chauncey from Van Buren to Market.
I know this is a usually if that's a word,
yep.
But a popular event as well. I don't see any concerns from our superintendents. So I'll go ahead and make a motion that we accept the street closing permit for September 6th from basically 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. for that date.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show sign. It's unanimous of those present. And next up is bill mailing. Scrolling down, we'll back up the top so I get the wording correct. Quotes for printing and mailing utility bills. Rosie?
I talked to you a little bit about it before on that I was trying to get some information on resourcing our bills out to a company. And what I put in there is the quotes I've got from two of them. I did have another one, but it was way over these two. So I didn't put them in there. But the sample I gave you there is just a couple samples of what one of the bills looks like, of what they do. There's various room on here to put, if you down here at the bottom, there was a little square on the original one, that you can put all this information. And I kind of jotted some stuff down, like limb pickup, closings, and leak pickup. That the Dropbox available in City Hall, and I need to get my quote. The prices. Do you have it in front of you there? The prices, the quote. Oh, here it is. It's only a difference of what two. 575 versus 577, which the Comptrol is the people that we actually does our software. One's a disconnect.
Up
packet, but that paper you're referring to, do we have that?
This here, yeah, it's in your Dropbox. This here.
Okay, I'm with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So it's only a difference of, like I said, not even a penny. So the CompuTrol one is the one that we do that has all our software. They call into our computer all the time, make changes, do whatever when we do our rate changes, they set all that up. So I would like to pursue going with CompuTrol, and everything on there, they waived most of the setup fees for if we signed for 3 years. There's a lot of information that I really need to get, and I've kind of scribbled things on this front of this bill. But we can also use the back. We can also do the water department's flyer that he has to send out yearly. That it will just be the copy part. It goes in the envelope free and is mailed with the bills. We have the newsletter. It will go in there in the envelope with this stuff, and they'll have a return envelope. And I had put in there approximately what the savings is. Sorry, I got my paper all messed up here. We can save probably, I'm thinking with all the inside labor and everything, over $5,000 a month just in the utility bills. The other option is the disconnects. We can actually not send a disconnect notice and put it right on here. You will not receive a disconnect notice if your bill isn't paid by this date. You will be disconnected. That's going to save us. That's not even figured in that savings. That's going to save us a lot more money, which is what that second copy is. I gave you a copy of the actual bill and the disconnect.
Yeah.
So I guess I just need some guidance. I ordered enough bills for a couple more months. I just don't want to get any more.
And did we run into a situation when we had disconnects when we didn't give them another day or a couple of days? I remember when we were hanging on doors way back then, and then we went to not hanging on doors, and then we had was there a lot of confusion with that?
Well, they just didn't get their door hanger, even though they got their disconnect notice, and so they were upset.
So the disconnect notice, it's just a warning date, they all
didn't get,
know,
yeah.
So we won't have to.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that everybody would get, and we can put it in great big red letters.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much we can do with
it's
this.
Their own. Basically, just pay attention and do it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And there's just so much more stuff that we can do with this, and it's a matter of, right now it takes us about a day and a half to print bills. It takes Iate a good day to get them sorted, counted, folded, sorted. We'd be getting rid of two huge machines that we don't need, and it's in like last month, I don't know if anybody got their bills, but they're black, all the black. It's just horrible, what we have to go through to keep that machine going.
So, from Marcia, from a legal perspective, the notice of the true disconnect is sufficient notice with the primary bill?
Well, she's got additional language that has to be added to it,
mm-hmm.
if that's your question. What you have in front of you is not sufficient.
But if I receive this bill and it says, here's what you owe today, and then in big bold letters it says, after this date you'll be disconnected, I'm just saying there's no requirements to send out a notice before disconnect independently.
Right, that she's got, no, but she's got the language. I've provided her language in the past.
Okay.
It has to be on there for due process.
Right.
And she's got a note. That was one of the things she was mentioning. She's got additional language that will have to be added to this.
Okay, and so that covers all of our
requirements. Yeah, she's already got the language I want on the bills.
Cool.
From the last ones.
Yeah.
So she'll just transfer that language over to this.
Well, my thought, Rosie, is you've done a great job analyzing it. You're down to a penny separation in cost. There's a $5,000 a month cost savings. I I'm comfortable with your recommendation, but I'll leave that up to you. You got my support whichever way you go with your bids. But I think it's a great move. We can communicate a lot of new information and use it. It's very versatile and it's expandable. You know, today you're pretty landlocked with what you can do. So I'm okay with whatever she chooses.
Exactly. It's a no-brainer. Quite honestly, it's a wise move on our part. And the work that Rosie's done is terrific. So you want to make that as your motion?
I make a motion that the Board of Works supports Rosie's recommendation and is CompuControl to be the provider with a three-year contract to do all of our mailing and bill processing for utility bills and disconnects.
Yeah, I second that. We have a motion to second. Any further discussion?
I have one discussion. As I explained to you about possibly not doing a disconnect notice, I don't know if you've really read the verbiage on this, but it says all delinquent amounts must be paid prior to the, like we said, the third or fourth day of the month following. Third day of the following month in order to avoid a disconnect of service. What that's doing, it's not tying down, okay, disconnect's going to be on the 4th, it may be on the 5th. If you're not in here, if it isn't paid before the 3rd, if we use that date, we could shut it off 2 days later, 3 days later. I don't know what your thinking is about that. Do you want it specified? This is the day it's getting shut off. And if it's not paid by 7:30 a.m.,
how do you do it? How do you do it today?
How do I do it?
How's it done today? The specific date?
Yes, it's the notice is sent out on the 21st that it's either the 3rd or the 4th, depending on how it falls during the month. That morning, which is why we're in here at 5 in the morning trying to get them ready to be disconnected.
So, do you have a recommendation?
I don't know. I don't know where Sean went. He
leaves. Yeah, he had a family event.
His daughter's singing. It's not like.
I would like to. I don't know.
What are you thinking?
Is their bill going to be issued the same date every month, on the same day of every month? So they'll get that bill on the 21st of every month, for example. And then I have until what day to be disconnected, the third day of the...
Yeah, they get their bill about the 4th or 5th of the month.
Yeah.
It's due by the 20th. Then we would send a disconnect out, which hopefully we can eliminate. Then they would have until, depending on how the day fell, because we don't shut off on a Monday or a Friday... So it'd be Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. And if there's no holidays or anything else in that day, because you have to, it can't be a day before or a day after you're closed. So with what this is saying, if it isn't paid by the 3rd of the month, then you would be up for disconnection. It's not saying it's going to be shut off on the 4th, the 5th, or what day.
It gives you a little more freedom.
Correct.
For scheduling, right? That gives them.
Because right now, three of us are in here at 5 o'clock in the morning. And by 9 o'clock, it takes us that long to get them ready. And sometimes that's opening the window at 7:30 and the line being lined up because they wait till 7:30 in the morning, the second before the window opens to pay it. So it kind of eliminates a little bit of headache because. If they're not shut off that day, they may be the next day.
Again, I'm listening.
Or do you want to leave it up to me?
Well, I think we need to be sensitive to the people who are being disconnected.
Correct.
Okay, I don't want to, but obviously they're accountable. They are accountable. But I don't want to make it confusing either.
And I understand that. And this did happen with one of the snowstorms we had. It was so bad that we couldn't disconnect that day. But then, like, 2 days later, any of them that hadn't paid, they were off.
Right.
But by that time, you know, we may have went from 80 down to 10.
So, not to add to it, but is all the bills going to be sent out the same day every month for everybody, or is it going to
right
be
now.
Two cycles?
Later, I'm okay. going to do this split.
I think maybe you just need to come back with some of your thoughts. I don't know if we can answer that tonight. But I understand
okay.
your challenge.
Think about it, because it's going to be probably another month and a half before I get this going.
Yeah.
And I need to get a lot of information out there.
And maybe there's a city doing what we want to do or already doing it, and how do they do it?
See, this city does it this way,
yeah.
where they just say if it isn't paid, then they
yeah.
would be up for disconnect.
I would be hesitant right now to make a decision because I would just be based upon what I know right this moment if it's a good or bad. And maybe we just need some time to think
okay.
about that.
Sure. On that portion of it, but we have a motion and a second on the go-ahead on
yeah.
this.
So.
And then we can adjust that.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we shall assign for approval. It is carried of those present. Next up is bills, I believe.
We got Scott out here.
I know Scott's here, but I was trying to see what that's. I didn't see.
He's not on the agenda, but.
Okay, I'm sorry, Scott. Come on forward.
All right.
I'm just figured he just loved being here.
Yeah.
He's waited here all this time.
Yeah.
I seen your signs in the yard. I thought she was running for office.
Right? I'm planning on it, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm here to get permission to put a dumpster at 205 West Van Buren Street for 24, 36 hours to, I ripped a roof off over there today, so, and it's in front of Meneer Real Estate, so no more than 36 hours, and I'd like to do it this week if possible, so.
I see there's a lot of work being done already down there.
Yeah.
So,
The chief's out of town. He went down
yeah.
to talk to him.
And it'd be two or three spots that I'd be taking up for 24, 36 hours, so.
Do we help bear or put cones out, or is that something they do?
Well, usually Sweetheimer in the past has got a couple. They'll put one in each corner or something, so.
Okay, is that an angle parking through there?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're going to angle it, or you're going to turn it
no,
sideways?
I'm just probably going to go a long ways right there and take it'll probably end up being three spots by the time it's all done with.
You'll turn it so it's sideways to the sidewalk.
Yes, yeah.
Not like a vehicle.
Sure,
okay.
Yeah, because I think it would stick out into the street too
right,
far.
Right,
so,
we need to make a motion on that for the
record. I make a motion that we approve the request to put a dumpster in front of 205 West Van Buren.
Yes.
For no more than 48 hours.
Correct.
For Richmond Construction to complete their roofing project.
Yeah.
I have a motion. I will second that. Any further discussion? Carry.
No.
All those show sign. Approved. That's approved for those present. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Sorry
thank
about
you.
That.
No, you're fine.
I apologize for making you stay all that time. But now we can go to bills. Thank you. Have you had a chance to take a look at those?
I have not. It's loading.
Just pay it.
But I'm okay to move forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve the bills as presented in the amount of $642,900.58.
I'll second that.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Show sign for approval. And it is approved. By the vice president. Yes.
Mark's got a quote that needs to be considered from Niblock
Before
you adjourn.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
not exactly sure, I mean, how to approach it. We, if you aren't aware, when we flooded a few weeks ago, the river was up really high. The park didn't flood, but the river was up high. Part of the, right off the greenway, it fell in into the river. So it's kind of a dangerous situation where if you just step right off the greenway, you're basically falling 10 feet down to the river. We have it barricaded off right now. So I got a quote for that from Niblock to prepare that, and it was, I think, $21,000. It was about 100 feet long. Over the weekend, when we got more rain, we had another section not too far from it that fell in also. So we have two sections now. Got a quote just at 3:30 today from Niblock to repair both of them, and now it's at $41,000. And I talked with the mayor, he really wanted to get it fixed. I'm not exactly sure where the money's coming from. Rose probably could talk about that, but it's not really Parks.
No. The mayor and I have talked about it, and it will be brought up at council for
appropriations.
And then I don't know whether you want him to come back then to you guys with a quote.
Well, this is kind of an emergency situation. Every day we wait is another day that deteriorates, especially with the rains. It's moving extremely rapidly down there. So we need to move as quick as possible, quite honestly, on this situation.
Is Niblock having an immediate fix, or is this just a temporary thing?
It would be a permanent
stormwater.
Yeah, basically what they're doing is they are pulling everything they can inside and putting a, covering it with a fabric. And then they're going to be putting 18-inch riprap along it and lowering it down. So from the side of the greenway, it would be 2 feet out until the riprap goes down to the river.
Since this is a, I mean, is this an issue that stormwater?
This is a regulated drain, sir. If you want money, talk to your buddy over there.
Well, Here we go with that situation, because with it being within the south,
seriously, Dan? Are you serious? We need to talk.
Yeah, because here we go again with drainage within the town boundaries. And if you want to, I mean, yeah, we'll need to talk, because there's some, like you say, there's just a lot of issues that goes into this, because of the fact that the trail was within a 75 foot on the top of bank. There's a number of issues with that. So,
and Mark, I know you're on top of it, but, and I know it's emergency requests, but how do we know it's not, and next week it's 100 feet away, there's another one, and another one. And so I'm is the trailway from a safety perspective safe? I mean, in regards to keep people away.
It's safe as long as people, which they already have, take our barricades, throw them in the river, take the caution tape down. I mean,
do we have the concrete barricades, or we have just wooden barricades?
Well, we had at first were police barricades the police put out.
Right.
So they could just throw those in, and they did. What we've done now is we've tapped into the asphalt, like the orange snow fence. Again, some of the
So do we just need to consider closing the trail until this is resolved?
Might not be a bad idea.
I just feel there's a lot of risk down there.
I don't know how you enforce it, but I mean.
Marshall, what's your thoughts from a legal perspective? We know there's danger.
You think they can fall how far? 10 feet?
10 feet.
Oh.
Into the river.
The first one was probably a little bit worse.
Is there a chance that the whole thing could cave in, or can you put?
Right now, it's not undermined under
that, and that would be my concern.
And if it continues to wait, then this will get worse and worse.
Who owns? I can't tell where this is. Who owns the? Is this park property to the whatever direction this is? Is that park property?
Now, if you look right here, that is.
How far?
I think right up in
the Well, my question is, do we have people go off on the grass if they wanted to continue to use the trail?
I don't know, Mark.
You get the workshop.
Could people go off into the grass? Is that city property? So if they wanted to continue to use the trail, you could put barricades up, trail closed, in that vicinity, but they could still run around into the grass?
Yeah, but if you don't...
Okay. Well, I would be okay with that.
You're going to lose more.
Leaving it open but barricade.
Leave it open but barricade that part of the trail so they can't run on the trail.
Okay.
And then, but as, if that's city property, they can go off into the grass, and I would be okay with that.
Do we have the concrete barriers ability, or is it too... Are those...
I've never got them before. I mean, do you have a place? I don't
know. It's just a question. I'm not.
Ready makes sense, son, but they're 3,200 pounds.
There we have anything.
That that'd take care of the trail.
That'd take it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I would put the sign up that says trail closed. My point is you're going to have people going on that trail anyway, so no matter what. So say trail closed for sure. But if they can run out into that grass, then that seems to me.
I'm just trying to buy a little time, Mark. Not that we don't need to be responsive, but obviously there's some debate here. The rain's not done yet.
Right.
I mean, and so I'd probably
tell... It's going to get worse quick.
Yeah, it's going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, this thing could turn into a bottomless pit in regards to what it's going to take to fix it.
Okay.
And I think all of our intentions are good, but where do you start? Where do you stop?
I imagine the area between the two areas will also go.
Yeah, that's kind of, if it's that close, I'm kind of agreeing with you.
What it did look like for this last race is the first section had a lot of trees in it, so they basically fell into the river and it stopped everything coming down the river. It looked terrible, but this last flooding kind of forced everything down again, so it's gone.
Okay. Well, if you're okay taking the recommendations of putting...
Yeah.
The trail closed, barricade signs.
And make sure that the signs are far enough away from the area. But don't just put it
right there.
Yeah. Make sure that that's really clear.
If we got some of the, even the little yellow flashing lights for the people who are there before sunrise or sunset.
Yeah. I mean, if you think there's other areas that are compromised, then you just need to close the whole trail. I mean, I don't know. I'm just seeing this one picture.
Yeah, that's
what
at least. All
right, that's
fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it's got to get worked out who's going to pay for it.
And it was going to be brought up tonight at council, so I mean, if I still bring it up.
Okay. All right. Anything further? Since it's already 11:45,
Kelly's got some.
Well, I see an email that I think Rosie used to have somebody complain about the speed limit sign on North Street, and I think Marcia said you do have a recommendation from police.
Isn't it? I mean, I always thought that that's sort of how it went.
Is that something that needs quickly?
Well,
are you just going to wait on that?
I sent it to Ben, and I didn't know. I didn't know for sure who's all on the committee. I put it to you, Marcia.
Well, you put it to the ordinance committee, and my point was that may be something, you know, that if they just want us to do it, not have it through our big ordinance committee, that's up to you. I don't care how it's handled, but I need to be directed to do it, and I just didn't know. It seems to me like it needs to be discussed.
Are you talking about the speeding to have it reviewed if it's too fast or too slow?
Well, their complaint was on Lime Street, on out of town. On North Street is 20 mile, but from Lime Street to Main Street it's 30 mile, and then on the other side of Main Street to the school it's 20 mile. And she said, this lady said, she's talked to various police officers and they all say it should be 20 mile, and wanted to know what she needed to do. She says, I'll come to the Board of Works or I'll come to the council. So I had kind of mentioned it to Tim, and I didn't know what to do, so I sent it to the ordinance committee and thought, okay, Tim did get a copy of it, and if something that...
Historically, we've had the police department look at it first for evaluation. They do the radar gun, they do the traffic speed study. And then, so I think
40 and a 30.
And I don't know what officer she's talking to, but she seems to think that she's talking to quite a few of them. So just have Tim give us a recommendation for the next, if he thinks she needs to talk about it.
Right. Okay. I mean, that's how typically I think done it, and I just think that's by the way.
Why is it pointing out this school?
Okay. Anything else?
Do the department report.
Meeting adjourned.
too.
If we put on the
that's why I said I'm sorry if I kind of overstepped.
Very much appreciate that.
That's what you do.
Oh, well, that was a
a set of presidents.
I will.
I just see.
I think as long as. Sorry.
I just see that you.
I know the mayor's trying to keep down the rate on some things. Okay.
No, my point was let's do.